to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. And let me set this over here. Numbers chapter 22. We're going to learn about Balaam today. Interesting character in the Bible, by the way. The title of today's message is going to be The Secret That Balaam Knew. The Secret That Balaam Knew. In Numbers chapter 22. And I want to read a lot more, so I'm going to read just a little bit less than I got. But let's go to verse number 5. Numbers chapter 22, verse number 5. And the Bible says this. It says, and make sure I got 22. There we go. And he sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Now come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands. And they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam, and God came unto Balaam, and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people from out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into the land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more, and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse this people. Verse 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, and I will know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Let's have a word of prayer and get into the message for today. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us wisdom. Father, the devil is the subtlest of all beasts. Help us, Lord, to understand the truth that Balaam knew. But, Lord, not to understand it to hurt, but understand it to help. Give us wisdom how to conduct ourselves to please you, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Many of you know the rest of the story of Balaam. I just read something that confused me for many years, actually. I'll explain what part confused me. Balaam, first off, everything I can tell, Balaam was not an Israelite. In fact, the interesting thing is, it says he called upon the Lord, his God. He called God his God. It says he was a soothsayer, spiritualist kind of person. Then he says, there's some people come out of Egypt. He wants me to curse them. What do you think, God? God says, no, those are my people. So it's pretty obvious to me that he's not an Israelite, but he talks to God. And he considers God his God. And so he has a reputation of what he says happens. He's a prophet, so to speak. But it doesn't call him a prophet in the Bible. It calls him a soothsayer. But I'll use the term a little loosely. What he says happens. And so Balak, the king of Moab, Balak wants Israel cursed because Israel could obviously conquer him. And he doesn't want to be conquered. They outnumber him. they've been blessed. He said, maybe if I can get Balaam to curse them, maybe I'll have a chance to go with them against them in battle. I'll win the battle and drive them out of my land, and then we'll be safe. So he's just trying to be safe. So he sends some honorable people, and they ask him to come, and they give him the rewards of divination. They're going to pay him a lot of money to do this. And he looks at that, and he goes, well, let me ask God. And it doesn't really say how or what he does to communicate with God. It's kind of an interesting story. But somehow it happens at night, whatever it is, and he departs from him at night, talks to God, and God says, yeah, don't go with these people. Don't go with them and don't curse these people. Don't curse the people he wants you to curse. Those are my people. You can't curse them. So he came back and said, God said no. And it's interesting. He says, I cannot go beyond what God tells me to do. You'll find this later on. He will not go beyond what God tells him to do. But something interesting happens. So then the next part that comes up, we read at the end of the chapter, or the end of what we were reading, is he says, well, they came back with some princes that were higher ranking princes, and they said, he'll give you all kinds of stuff, and he said, yeah, he said, I can't do anything that God doesn't tell me to do. I'll go check with him and see if God's changed his mind. And that night, the Lord says, very important you hear this. If they bid you, then you can go with them. But if you go with them, only say what I told you to do, what I tell you to say. Now, it says the very next morning he rose up, jumped on his ass, his donkey, and he went to go with them. It doesn't say they bid him. He does something here that Christians do all the time. What he does is he says, I would really like this, Lord. I really have an appetite for this. You'll find later it says he had an appetite for the riches. He chased the riches. The Bible says that later on. I'll read those verses to you in a little bit when it talks about Balaam. But he says, I really want the riches, and you said I could go. You know, if they bid me, they kind of bid me already. That kind of counts, right? Right? He took his will and God's will and tried to make them work together. Tried to say, we can compromise, can't we, God? By the way, we do that all the time. We do that all the time. In your Christian walk, you will be confronted. And you'll have to go, this is what I want, this is what God wants, and I don't want to just give God what he wants. What if we can just compromise and we'll put them together? You'll find in a little bit, you'll find out that it's called the wickedness of Balaam. The sin of Balaam. You'll find that God said, no, that's not how it works. But we do that. Young people, let me tell you how you do it. You find somebody you like. And, more importantly, they like you. Well, you better take that one. It's the best chance you'll ever have. Girls, you look at them and go, look at that hair. It's all going to fall on his chest and his ears. His ears. Men, it grows out their ears. I had a little kid looking up at me the other day. You got a spider web in your nose. Get out of here, kid. You know? How are you doing? And guys, you're like, oh, man, look at that figure. I'm not going to go there. But things change. You like the color of her hair? Yeah. Well, that will change very often. And we make all these decisions, but we say, I really want this, God. I really want this. Hey, they're saved, but qualified. I can do what I want and basically what God wants, kind of what God wants, mostly what God wants. I was telling my kids the other day, you know, it kind of stinks. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it goes on to say, honor them. Obey them means do what they tell you. Honor them means do what they would have told you. If they were there. What do you mean? See, I don't have a rule in my house that says, Danny, you cannot stab Roman 36 times with a kitchen knife. There's no rule. So if he did that, he didn't disobey me. He dishonored me. And then you know how teens are, by the way, parents, if you have any teens, and especially really sharp young kids, they do this. They say, you said 36 times. I only stabbed him 35. You didn't say I couldn't kick them. You said don't hit them. You said clean my room. You didn't say how clean. You follow me? And it says, yeah, I want you to obey them and to honor them. What does that mean? Ready? I pick on teens a little bit. Teens, you know I'm going to get the parents in a little bit. This is how I set them up. They love it when I get you. You know, this is how you honor your parents. Yeah, I sure wouldn't write that if mama was looking. Time out, folks. What did I just stumble across? Oh, boy. They got quiet in here. Can I see your phones and look on wait, let me see your messenger accounts. Y'all panicking. I should do it. Who thinks I should do it, adults? Can I see? They're all like, did I delete it? Did I delete it? Did I delete it? And let me start going. You don't know this, but you're all turning red. This is kind of wild. Like I could just preach here for a little while, and what would I do if they were here? But, I mean, parents, it's the same with you. What would I do if Jesus was in the room? Would I watch this film? Would I say, well, it's okay enough? Have you ever been around someone who lives holy and you... your humor's a little crude, maybe? And I said stuff, and I thought, why did I say that? I was embarrassed that I said it, you know? I shouldn't have said that. Why would I say that? And you could tell they're like, trying to be nice, but you just... And you're like, oh, I don't want to do that around them. And yet, I did that around Jesus. And so, Balaam, he was coming here, and he said... I can't do what God doesn't say I can't do. I can only do what God says I can do. Man, I want that money. You know, he said go if they said go. And they kind of already said go, so let's go. And it said God was mad at him. It took me a while to figure that out because it says God says go. And the next, you know, two verses later, God's angry with him for going. You're like, seriously? Teens, you know how that feels. Apparently, I thought you told me to do that, Mom and Dad. And now they're mad at you. But you missed something there. They didn't come and bid him another time to come. He wanted the money. And by the way, I know what I'm talking about because the Bible says several times he was greedy after the money. So he was trying to combine the two. Now, what happens next isn't what you think is going to happen if you know the story. Now, first off, the fun story. He's riding his donkey. I'm going to use the word donkey. There's a good King James word called ass, and it's an actual type of animal. But we have some young people here who will go, hee, 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 the whole time, rest of the time. So I'm going to use the word donkey for now. He's riding his donkey, and as he's riding along, the donkey sees an angel standing there with a sword to kill Balaam. And the donkey goes into the field and won't go any further. And Balaam starts hitting the donkey. Come on, you dummy, come on! Just hitting his donkey, and it won't go. He gets mad at the donkey, starts beating it. And then he starts going further, and the angel had moved, I think he said, between two walls. And it says he got up towards that angel and he pushed to the side of the wall and crushed Balaam's foot. And Balaam was really mad and began hitting the donkey. And then the third time it says the angel had moved and he was in a narrow spot where he wasn't going to be able to get around this time. The angel was going to kill him. And the donkey laid down underneath him and Balaam began to beat the donkey. Then it says the donkey began to talk to him, Mr. Ed. Now, it's funny to me because I mean, sometimes we just read these things, and this really messes up a lot of our Christian view. He's not an Israelite, but he talks to God, but he's not a prophet. He's a soothsayer, the Bible says. And then he seems to, part of his business is talking to animals. He doesn't think this is weird. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could imagine my son caught a squirrel the other day. We made a squirrel trap, and we're trying it out, and our neighbors, they feed the squirrels, so you just see the trap worked, and we let the squirrels go, and so on. But one right there. Yeah, I don't know if they eat at your house or not, but we have this the squirrel trap, and he caught the squirrel, and he launched it. You know, it's a squirrel launch. When you open the thing up, they jump out, and we got it on video, you know. I was videoing it because it was like a big deal. And then he jumped out. Well, then my daughter asked me to put it on Messenger so she could open it up. And I don't know what I did, but I sent it to everybody on my, like 700 people got it. And I didn't realize how many of you people just like, did you kill the squirrel? Watch the whole video. He jumps out, goes for a run, says, see ya, dude. You know, we wave goodbye. Greenpeace was happy, okay? And by the way, you say, that's not fair to the squirrel. No, 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 no. It took a long time for that trap to work. That was his home. That was his summer home. He was coming in there eating food every day till he get that thing to work. So he got nice and fat because of us. But can you imagine if I walked up in that video and I was like, hey, Mr. Squirrel. He's like, let me out. I didn't do it. Let me out. He starts talking to me. By the way, it would be fun to be a ventriloquist, wouldn't it? Sometimes you could be, you know, and the kid's like, he's talking, Dad. What's he saying? I'm looking in the window. He wasn't doing his homework. You know, shut up, squirrel. You know, anyways. But this donkey is talking to him. And he says, this angel was going to kill you. I saved your life. Why are you beating me? The priest says, why are you beating me? He says, I'm beating you because you won't do what I told you. He's talking to his donkey. This is an odd thing. And then finally the donkey says, the angel was going to kill you. And he sees the angel. He says, I'm sorry. And you'll find this, that the Bible says God gave Balaam a second chance. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 9, verse number 16 or 15 and 16. It says that God gave Balaam a second chance. So now Balaam knows, okay, no matter what, I've got to say what God said. This part really gets me. Because Balaam is hard to put into a box. But Balaam knew something that I'm going to show you at the very end. So you're going to be Barak, okay? Barak, the king of Moab. You Moabite, come here, Moabite. All right. So he meets Barak, the king of Moab. Remember, kings can kill you. You know that, right? Kings, if they get mad at you, they can say, and then you die. All right? So there, Barak, whatever you want to say. Now he's with the king, and the king says, look at all these people. So show me all the people. And these are dangerous people. They could kill me. I need you to curse them. And he says, hey, all I can say is what God tells me to say. I can't say any more or any less. He's like, fine. Do some sacrifices, blah, blah, blah. Do your rituals, you know, dance around the fire and whatever you got to do. Okay. Then you, I don't know what the rituals are. What are the rituals you usually do? I'm kidding. All right. So if he started to say something, I should let him talk. Anyway, so he does all this thing. He goes out. He prays in a trance with his eyes open. He says he does it with his eyes open. I'm just seeing these Hollywood movies. Is he levitating? What's he doing? I mean, I'm just really trying to picture this. This isn't a Jewish temple or a Jewish guy. He's a soothsayer. He comes back. He says, I will tell you what God said, nothing more, nothing less. And he's like, okay, good. Paid him a lot of money. Tell me. All these people are blessed of God. They'll be blessed and they will destroy you and your children and you shall be cut off. And he's like, shut up! The ones you bless are blessed. The ones you curse are cursed. Shut up! He said, I told you all I could do was what God said. He says, at least you could have done is shut your mouth and not said anything. Don't bless them. Here, let's go try another place. And they go to three different places. And every time he keeps blessing them. And at the end he said, you better run away from me. The king says, you better run away fast. You bless these people instead of cursing them. That's not what I brought you here for. And he says this. Let me tell you one more thing. And then he starts talking about how bad they're going to be crushed and how their children are going to be dashed and all these things. I mean, he just starts. Instead of running, he stands up and says what God tells him to say. And the king is irate. Thank you, king. Have a seat. This is a weird story. Does anybody catch how it's like something more like off of an old 80s Hollywood film than it is, you know, a Bible story? It just seems really strange. But there's something that Balaam knew. The secret that Balaam knew. Let me see if I got it here. Let's see. Just make sure I got the right spot. Yeah. Turn to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. Balaam wants the money, folks. Let me tell you a little secret. If you're trying to mesh your will and God's will, okay, you are always going to fail at God's will, even if you do some things right. There are a lot of people who go to church who are trying to mesh their will and God's will, trying to do both. Well, why can't I do this? That's not the right question. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager, and I was a new Christian, mullets were in style, but really the cool ones were those that have a mullet and then the hair would be almost like down to here. And you had an earring, and there's one ear that meant was okay and one that wasn't okay. Now nobody cares, but I don't remember which side was which. But But I kind of wanted to have a long hair and earring. I wanted to look cool. I wanted to so bad. I actually went to Fred Meyer's, got clip-on earrings, and tried it. And every time I put on the earring, I looked like a girl. Some guys look tough. I didn't look tough. I was like, okay, no earring. We'll go for the long hair. And so I wanted to have long hair. But the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So I kept asking my pastor this question. How long is long? I used the same response that everybody who doesn't know the Bible uses. Jesus had long hair. Remember that photograph from the 1700s? Where he had the long hair and he's hanging out with the long-haired disciples. Yeah. And it's kind of funny. The guy who painted that picture was a long-haired Italian. I wonder what that guy looks like that looks like Jesus. I did some study. You look at the African pictures of Jesus. He's a lot darker and his hair's curly. Look at the Chinese pictures of Jesus. He looks a little different. Huh? Looks like he can own a restaurant locally. I mean, look at the... So you find there are all these different pictures of Jesus. You with me? Now, I was like, how long can I have it? And the pastor kept saying, by the way, there's some stabs at it you can make. I mean, there's some ways. There's ways I can read into a verse and say maybe it means this, but it doesn't specifically tell you how long is long. It does say, does not nature itself teach us, and there's a natural hairline, and probably keep it above the hairline. There's some principles you can use, but it doesn't say how long is long. And so I said, how long can I have it? And the pastor kept saying, you're asking the wrong question. I said, no. I don't want God mad at me. I don't want God cursing me. I'm a Christian. I want to obey God. How long can I have my hair and not get God mad? That's really what I was looking for. It doesn't seem like a bad question. Then one day it dawned on me what he was saying. He kept saying that over and over. You're asking the wrong question. The right question was, God, what do you want my hair to look like? You said you want it short. How short do you want it? See, the problem with the question was, is I was saying, what can I do without God getting me in trouble? How much fun can I have before God spoils my fun? How much life do I get to live before God, you know, ruins it all? And he said, the question you're supposed to ask is, what do you want, God? What I was trying to do is grab my idea. By the way, I don't want long hair anymore. I'm lazy. Okay? I'm lazy. This is the long. I feel like a hippie right now. And my wife wants it a little longer. I like yours, except for it's too much maintenance. When someone told me you have to shave that thing, I'm like, lazy. I'm lazy. You know? I don't want. But the whole idea was I was like, what can I do? And God won't get mad. So Balaam is like, okay, I did what God said. How can I keep the money? How can I keep the money? I told you to turn to Numbers chapter 23. There's something you'll find in Numbers that the rest of the scripture shows you very clearly, but you see it mentioned in Numbers. Look at verse number 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. Now, I'm going to show you what Balaam recognized and then what the secret was that Balaam taught Balak. Okay? Here's what he recognized. Come here. I'm going to need you to be a Christian. Can you pretend you're a Christian for a minute or two? Okay. So here's what happens. Your spirit died. Okay? The Bible says your spirit was put in Christ Jesus. And that's actually a literal term. I'll use it from a geographic term. That you're in Christ Jesus. Very important. Because you learn some things the Bible teaches about this. That means you have a force field. Okay? So let's give you about this much territory. This is your force field. Right? What is that force field? That's Jesus Christ. There is a force field around you. I'm using that word force field. That's our terminology. The Bible doesn't use the terminology, but there's implications of it. Do you know if you go in Corinthians, when it said a man was living in sin and refused to repent of that sin? They said, the recommendation was, okay, vote him out of the church, is a term that we would use today. Do not fellowship with him. Give him over to Satan. Let him, when you go tell people about Jesus Christ, folks, you go to the nicest area of town, they barely open the door. And most of them are just really like, you know, get lost, boy. You know, it's kind of like cigarette ashes on your head, shoe. Right? You go to the ghetto part of town at 2:30 in the morning where the police cars are all gathered, that part of town, and you tell people about Jesus Christ, they don't think sin's fun anymore. When you're going for your third round of jail and you're going for a lifetime and the kids are all go to school and they talk about their dad who is their uncle and all the messed up things that are going on, they want to hear about Christ. Sin is not fun anymore. You with me so far? And those are the people who are receptive to hearing about Christ. But God says this, there's a force field around you. He says that person in the Bible who had said when you cast him out of church, it says that Satan may have his way with him. That's what the Bible says. When Satan's done with you, you don't want to sin anymore. No addict says, I want to stay an addict. You follow me? So he said when he gets done, he said, yeah, I should have never done that. I'm so sorry. And later he repented and came back to church. But interesting, what did he say would happen if you got out of church? Satan will have his. He just gave him a guarantee. He just told you what would happen. What? You get out of church and you lose the blessings of God, something happens. That force field is gone. Satan can then have his way with you. You know what else that says? That says if you're in church doing what God wants you to do, Satan can't attack you. Balaam said to Balak, look, you can't do anything to these people. Why? Say right there, Christian. Chapter 23, verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and have blessed, and I cannot reverse it. 21. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord, his God, is with him. Satan can't get in here. Beware, your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody. He's looking for who he can devour. Well, what happens is he go along and say, God can have that one, 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 that one, that one. There's no meat on that one. I'm going to take that. God can. Does he walk around and say, can I have that? No. What's he looking for? One who lets him in the force field. The Bible says, give not place to the devil. Don't let him in. He knocks at the door. Who is it? Who is it? If you're from Chicago, who is it? Who is it? I still told him the other day that I talked about lockdown buildings. Chicago has a lot of them where you have to know the code to get in the front door and so on, or you have to buzz somebody to let you in. And I went to go give the gospel tracts, and you couldn't get in those buildings. And it was really cold outside. It's nice to get in those buildings and knock the doors in there because you're out of the snow and all that kind of stuff. So I watched one day, and a guy walks up there, and he's like, meh. It doesn't matter. Folks, if you ever go to Chicago, you have to knock a door just to hear this because it's the funniest thing in the world. Brother Gable can testify. It doesn't matter if it's male, female, 6 foot tall, 60 years old, or 2 foot tall, 5 years old. The same voice comes out every time. Clock, clock, clock. Whiz it! Whiz it! I don't care if you're old, young. It's whiz it! I told my daughters that the first time they knocked doors in Chicago. They laughed their heads off. They couldn't even talk at the door. The people were like, I didn't think my dad was serious. Absolutely serious. I'm going to make a Chicago doorbell. Whiz it! Whiz it! Anyways, so you always hear, who is it? So I watched a guy come up to the building and go, whiz it! It's me, stupid, open the door! He walked in. And I thought, walked in. Who is it? It's me, stupid. Open the door. Cool. I'm in. And he said, did it always work? No, sometimes it go like this. It's me, stupid. Open the door. Who's me? Is this Lisa? No. Who you? Oh, wrong one. It's me, stupid. Open the door. Okay. I don't know if that's legal or not. I don't know that they actually made a law that you can't call people stupid and tell them to open the door. But now watch this. I was looking for a way to get in that door. Okay? Satan is looking for a way to get in that force field. But he's the subtle of all beasts. Do you understand? If someone came in here with a gun, said, "Deny Christ or die," many of you would not deny Christ. That's the truth. Mr. Parker, do you have a dollar by chance on you or any kind of cash? No, you don't. I was hoping you might have a dollar on you. Your bank's holding it. Okay, can I have that? Okay. Can I just point out real quick, Mr. Myers, we don't talk about him much. He was Special Forces. We don't talk about it a lot, all that kind of stuff. But do you understand if I were to push him against the wall and downstairs was just me and him and said, "You're giving me this dollar, Buster." Do you understand what might happen to me? He just gave me a dollar because I asked for it. But do you understand if I poked him in the nose and said, "You're going to do what I'm going to tell you to do"? His wife's laughing. She's like, please, I know what'll happen. So understand this, very important. Do you understand the devil came to you and put a gun to you and said, "Deny Christ or die"? Many of you would not deny Christ. But the devil said, "Work a little overtime and miss church." Most of us would. Because we really need the money. No, we do. We're starving to death. We're almost bankrupt. We're having a tough time. Thank you, Mr. Myers. There we go, Mrs. Myers. Thank you, Mr. Myers, ATM. So understand this then. The devil's got to figure out how to get in this force field. He says that whom he may devour, you have to let him in. Who is it? Pizza. Are you sure it's pizza? Yeah, it's pizza. Why do you got horns on your head? It's called devilish hot pizza. Oh, okay. Here, just hand it through the door. Now he's in. Who is it? Oh, entertainment. Who? Remember when I was picking on you teens earlier? The adults just got quiet. Entertainment. Well, I don't let my kids watch it. It's not appropriate for them. And I kicked Jesus out of the room, too. I don't know. Not appropriate for him. You know, it's for mature audiences. And so it's just a little entertainment. Harmless entertainment. It's only videos. Oh, don't be silly. You haven't killed anybody. It doesn't make you kill people. Video games don't make you kill people. You ever, it's just a little harmless video. She's not dressed like God said to be dressed. But it's okay. Because it doesn't bother you. And by the way, it doesn't affect you like it does other people. You're superhuman. Trust me. Just open the door a little bit, would you? He's waiting. He's waiting to get in. That's how it works. Who is it? He comes each time. So here's the problem. Balak sees this. Balak, the man who's a soothsayer, not a prophet, but he talks to God, but he's not an Israelite. When is Israel that had God, and somehow he knew God, and he obeyed God for the most part, but he still had some worldliness to him and tried to combine the both. That Balak, who talks to donkeys, Mr. Ed and Balaam, that Balaam, he says, You can't touch him. He's got a force field. What do I do? Get him to let the force field down. And you can come in and do whatever you want. God will not protect him anymore. In fact, God will curse him. And I can guarantee you he'll lose. Not because God wants you to win, because God wants him to lose. That's the secret he knew. Well, how do I do that? What do you like?
Girls. I like girls.
There's the illustration years ago. I don't think anybody in here was there. You might have been there. Brother Dean Miller, who's going to be preaching up in Spanaway, Washington soon. He was talking about hunters and how they hunt especially in the Midwest and so on. They put out decoys. Oh, you were there, weren't you? Yeah, they were in the girls of corn. That was a great one. And he talked about, you know, they put out corn and all that, and the deer sitting there going, "Hey, Hal, they got corn. I'm going to go eat some corn. I'm going to eat corn. Let's go get some corn." He's like, "Hey, but you don't want to go there." "Why, Hal?" "Because they got the bang stick." "I don't like the bang stick, but I want corn. I'm going to go get some corn." Then they put out a decoy, you know, and there's a doe out there. "Hey, Hal, what? Girls and corn. Ooh, girls and corn. Girls and corn. I'm going, Hal. I'm going. I got to go right now." "What about that bang stick?" "Oh, don't worry. I'm just girls and corn. I'm going. Girls and corn." And that was, I don't know how many years ago, but I just look over at my daughter's ones, "Girls and corn." And that's the typical guy. All right. So I said, "Hey, Danny, what? Girls and corn." "Girls." "Girls and corn." And so here's what he says. The king sent girls and said, "You can sin with no repercussion. No price to pay. No have to marry them. No nothing. You can have, what is it that you want?" He said, "Come to the high places." The high places would be very close to what we would call our taverns. But they would, when they created a worship that was an ungodly worship, they would find the things that they liked to do, and that's how they worshiped their god. If I made up a god, he would be the god of hunting. And we would meet at camps, you know. I mean, if you get to make up your own god, you do the things you like to do. That's why it's tempting to go to the high places. And they would go to the high places and drink and carouse and do. And they said, "Come here, no consequences, free admission for you. Free admission, no consequences." By the way, that's what I saw a basketball player. He was recruited young, going into the NBA. They interviewed him, and he says, "I give God all the glory for what he's done in my life." And it almost brought tears to my eyes. He was 19. And I said, he's going to be exposed to so much sin. And they're going to tell a 19-year-old kid, "Here's $1 million, and you are not going to be held accountable for anything." There's so few 19-year-olds. There's so few anybody that can handle that, but there's so much fewer 19-year-olds that can handle that. Sin without consequence. Secret sin. By the way, that's why the internet becomes so popular. You can make up a different name. Let me tell you something right now. Old people and young people alike. If you got 3 or 4 Facebook pages and you're working 3 or 4 identities, you're in trouble. You've got a problem. No consequence. Nobody knows my name. No repercussions. That's what Satan offered them. And here's what they said. "Girls and corn. Come on in." And they went into sin. When they went into sin, the Bible says a plague came into Israel. The Moabites did not have to destroy them. They were self-destructing. Balaam had given them the trick to make Christians self-destruct. The trick was that Satan can't touch you. "Oh, Satan's attacking me." He can't touch you. You have to let him in. He has to get permission from God. There are some instances in the Bible that God uses Satan to do a work in the life of a Christian or a believer, and Satan attacks him, and it's used to elevate him to a new level of service for God. But for the most part, you have to let him in. Stay with me, we're almost done. The secret that Balaam knew was Satan's knocking at the door. If you can get them to open the door, you got them. They'll destroy themselves. You want to destroy a country? You know what makes me angry? Have a seat. This makes me angry. Makes me angry. I worked in the projects of Chicago. And projects, it's all welfare, it's all government-funded. There's second, third, and fourth generation people who have never lived outside of government housing. And I'm not against welfare if it was run right and there wasn't a bunch of scams going on. I'm not actually against welfare. But the only thing you ever see around the projects is liquor stores. They give the people enough sin to keep them bound, to keep them in slavery. It doesn't matter what color, they're in slavery. They're bound. They hand them enough to, here's all the money, you don't need to work. Here's access to all the drugs and immorality that you possibly want. Don't ever leave. That is not helping anybody. I worked in those projects. I love those people. I worked really hard to reach them. And I watched the bondage that the program put them in. Didn't help them. Hurt them. See what he's saying? Satan wants bondage for you. And Balaam knew this, that little bowl of chili that Esau ordered up was enough to open the door and Satan to take his birthright and to lose everything. All you have to do is give in. And that was the secret that Balaam knew. So what was the answer? They cleaned out Israel. They pushed out all the sin, and they stopped saying yes. Do you know what? If I were Satan, remember I told you, and this is the end of the illustration, the guy comes in with a gun, says, deny Christ or die. Many of you would stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Many of you would take a bullet. Some of you would run and say, no way, or cry. There's some. But most of you would stand up and say, I will not deny Jesus Christ. But if he said, here's $1,000. Here's a bonus. Get too busy for church. Get too busy for your family. Just do a little more. Turn your head the other way, parents. Let the internet raise your kids. It's too much work. You don't have time. Just hand them a video. Tell them not to do anything bad and hope it's okay. He'll just offer you prosperity. And prosperity is 10 times. Bible says he's chosen the poor to be rich in faith. Prosperity is 10 times harder to handle than poverty. And he just says, let me in. That's the secret Balaam knew. Question, are you letting him in? Balaam said, Balak, I can't curse them. They got a force field, but you can convince them to curse themselves. Why don't you do that? You want to destroy a country? Yeah. Just go drop drugs all over the country. Free. You can get them to destroy themselves. Question is this. Is that you? Are you letting Satan in? Does the devil, have you been giving place to the devil? Today I'm going to ask you to do this. Say, you know what, that is me. I'm going to get back in Christ. And today I'm just going to say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. I am not going to let Satan in.